Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Meditate on Jesus. Some clear direction from the Spirit of God. I don't want to rush in and I don't want to rush out. God's presence is holy. God is here with us tonight. He's here in the midst, walking through the building, walking through the pews. He might be touching you. He might be sitting right next to you. Well, that's the kind of God that we serve. One that knows the very pain we're going through. One that knows our heartaches. One that knows our fears. That's the kind of God that we serve. We don't have a high priest who has not been felt with the infirmities. But we have one that knows what it's like to suffer in the flesh. Knows what it's like to be ostracized. Knows what it's like to be forsaken by all. But yet, his Father stands with him. Knows what it's like to have his Father forsake him on the cross. But yet he hung there for you and for me. So that we might have eternal life. He hung there for you and for me. You know, tonight people are getting ready for the Super Bowl. The interstate wasn't as crowded as normal. And I've got nothing wrong with football. I like football. I enjoy football. But I love my Jesus more. And I was thinking, as I began to prepare my heart, I was thinking of how Jesus, when he went into the temple and he saw the money changers, how he kicked over tables and braided a whip, and how we've taken Sunday night service when it comes time to Super Bowl and have Super Bowl parties. There's nothing wrong with a Super Bowl party other than it shouldn't be in God's house. It shouldn't be at a church. Just shouldn't be. And I just was thinking, what would Jesus do if he walked in a church with a big screen TV and popcorn and chicken wings and all the things that go with football, what he would do? And I asked myself the question, what would he do? And I have to go back to the parable where he walks in the temple and money changers are in there, and he said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves, and it should be a house of prayer." And see, it's important that we make God's house a house of prayer. It's important that we come and reverence God's house. Not only reverence the house here, but reverence the house here. It's important that we reverence that house as well. Thank you for the amen. Where are you going tonight, Brother Sean? Don't really know yet. I thought I was going to continue on love, but I believe the Spirit of God is fixing to change that. I was studied on love, so if God directs me to go somewhere else, just bear with me. I was going to... Did not I say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst, saith the Spirit of God? Did not I say that on my word, I am here. I am here to save. I am here to deliver. I am here to set the captive free. That whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're here. I thank you that we're living in a day where it says, in the last days, perilous times are waxing worse and worse. There are many deceivers and many that are being deceived. It's an amazing thing that we're living in a time where we can't gain for godliness. And it's an amazing thing that God refutes riches. And he says the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's an amazing thing that he says in his word that love is the love of money is the root of all evil. And there be some that seek after that and they err from the faith. They're just as Judas, they're become sons of perdition because they love money more than they love the faith, more than they love God. Isn't it an amazing thing that we're living in a day and a time where men's hearts are going to fail them for fear because of the things that are going to come upon the earth? We don't know when the next suicide bombing is going to take place in America. We don't know when the next Iraqi is going to take an airplane and go into another building. But this, we do know that if we are saved and been born again, if we absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, absent from this body is to be present from the Lord. We can rest assured that if we die tonight and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are going on to heaven. Glory be to God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And we are going to spend eternity somewhere. And it makes a difference to you whether what you choose is what's going to determine the outcome of where you spend an eternity. You're either going to be on the Lord's side, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to draw a plumb line. Sometimes even with your family members, even with your wife, even with your children, you've got to draw that line and say, look, we've got to serve the Lord. There are a lot of things that we can do that we want to please our kids, but we need to please our God. We're living in a day where men become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, that's why we have big screen TVs in churches tonight, because men love pleasure more than they love to sit and hear and learn from Jesus and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. It's an amazing thing that God's Spirit should be crying something in these last days and the times and the air that we live in. The Spirit of God should be crying something. Rather, hey, I'm taping the Super Bowl right now. I'm taping it, but I'm here in God's house. Because I'm going to go home and watch it if I don't hear what the score is at the end of the service. I'm going to go home and watch it, but because I like football, but I love Him more. See, it's about Him. It's no longer about me and about my feeling, but it becomes about Him. And it comes about my brethren. See, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments and they won't be grievous unto him. If I love Doug and Doug has a fault in an area, there is a love that covers a multitude of sins. There is a love, my brother and sister, that covers a multitude of sins. Maybe we'll continue on love. I'm just going to try the Spirit and see where God wants us to go. But rest assured that in these last days, in these times, there are many people that are falling away. But at the same time, there's a great shaking. There's a great revival. Isn't it an amazing thing that people in America are turning from God, but people in China are turning to God? Because they've lived under the iron curtain of the red China. And we've had freedom to serve God. And yet, we've taken our freedom and we've turned it for bondage. We think we're free when in fact we're not. We're out of prison, but we're in prison. Because we're bound, because we don't have a Lord. The Lord isn't the Lord of our life. Jesus isn't the centerpiece. Jesus isn't the focus. Jesus isn't the one that we love. We love other things. The Bible says, beware lest your heart be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Choke the Word. See, we can't grow. We talk about faith. We talk about healing. We cannot talk about faith without talking about love. We cannot talk about faith without talking about love. So with that being said, turn with me please to the book of Romans. Heather, could you get me some water please? Hallelujah. This all tie in together. God works things out in mysterious ways. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that means there's a love inside of you and inside of me that can surpass our feelings, even when we're angry or upset with our brothers and sisters. So there's a love that must grow. I'm going to quote this. I want to kind of go back to a review from the last time I ministered. Love is the soil in which we must grow and the foundation on which we must build. See, it all hinges on love, my brother and sister. I said it the last time, I'm going to say it this time, that you take the doors off those hinges at the front door, those doors will not open, those doors will not work. Same thing with our faith. We get away from love, our faith's not going to work. Spirit of God told us a few weeks ago that He's building our faith. I believe it's right in line with God's Spirit, what God is doing. In the morning time, in the evening time, God is speaking to us by His Spirit. God's love is an amazing thing. He put it in you and He put it in me. And we've got to love one another with a love that surpasses our feelings, that surpasses our wrongs. That does. If we're wronged, we're to forgive immediately, the Bible says. There is a love, the book of Proverbs says, that covers a multitude of sins. There is a love. There is a love, my brother and sister, and that's the love that God wants us to tap into. That's the love that we must walk in. If we want our faith to grow, if we want to talk about faith, then that's the love that we must experience. That's the love we must let flow through our life. Doug's here and comes to Brother Mike. I'm going to use you, brother. And there's a song that he wants to do in the worship team. Guess what? I might not like that song. Matter of fact, I might dislike it completely. But because I love Doug, see, that love begins to flow out because I love Doug. I'm going to bear it. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I may not particularly like the song, but because see, preferring one another in love. See, we've got to defer and we've got to prefer one another, my brother and sister. We've got to prefer one another. And hey, there are songs that I may not like, and I don't have to like, but because I love my brother. Jesus said this in 1 John, if you don't love your brother who you do see, how can you love me who you don't see? See, it's an important thing that we love one another. It's an important thing. We must speak the truth in love. I know a lot of people who speak the truth. They don't do it in love, though. Love makes a difference. When it's seasoned with grace that the hearers might be able to hear, it makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. If I'm wrong and I'm overtaken in a fall and you come to me harshly, you come to me rudely and judgmentally, not going to do me a bit of good. But if you come humbly, you come in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of love, and I'm going to receive it because I'm going to know that it's God. It's not God's using the vessel. God's using you, but it's God using you to speak to me. See, we've got to prefer one another, my brother and sister. We've got to prefer one another. It's a tough thing sometimes to prefer one another. Our flesh don't want to prefer one another. I mean, as Ditter says, it's all about her. So our flesh has got to die. Our flesh has got to die. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now you see, I've heard that scripture quoted many times. Now abide faith, hope, and charity. And they go right back to faith. And yet the scripture says it's charity that's the greatest. But yet ministers go back to faith because faith is presumed to some force. See, if we get back to love, then our faith's going to work. Thank you for the amen. If we get back to loving one another, our faith is going to work. Sometimes we wonder why people aren't healed. Are they loving? Oh, now I'm getting close to home. Are you bitter towards somebody? I know I'm touching on toes, but that's okay. God loves you and God loves me. And God wants us to love one another. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know you're my disciples because you have love one to another. See, it's important that we love one another. It's important that we die to self. And we prefer one another in a godly love. Hey, this message ain't easy to minister, believe me. It comes to me first. I got to swallow it first and say, God, help me in this area. God, help me in that area. But He will help you, my brother and sister. He wants you to love. God has power, but He is love. What good it would do for God to have that power and God touch you with all that power if you didn't know God loved you? Wouldn't do you a bit of good. I'd rather have the love of God than the power of God. I'd rather know that God loved me than God delivered me and me not know He loved me. Because God is love. And when you know that God loves you, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You know that God loves you. And you can come through it because of His love. Because of His love, you can come through. You might have lost a family member. But because of God's love, you're going to make it. Because of His love. Not because of anything in yourself. But because you allow God to love through you to a lost, damned, and dying world. If we can't love our brothers in here, how are we going to love a lost, damned, and dying world? Right. We've got to love one another. Ooh, it's quiet in here. You know, if I was talking about the power of God, or I was talking about the Spirit of God moving, and the Spirit of God will sustain your infirmities, or if I was saying that He that shall come will come, and He will not tarry. All these things are true. All these things go hand in hand. But see, if we prophesy and have not love, it doesn't profit us anything. If we have the gift of faith and have not love, have not charity, it doesn't profit us anything. See, we've got to love one another. We've got to love one another. We've got to let love be the supreme issue. We've got to let love be the supreme issue. I might get upset with Brother Mike. Mike might get set up with me. Who's going to love first? Who's going to defer and say, Brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who's gonna be the first to repent? See, it's not about who's right or wrong with each other. It's about who's right with Him. And see, when you're wrong with Him, we can't even take our prayer to the altar if we've wronged our brother. If we've wronged each other, we can't even go to God in prayer. We can't even expect God to answer our prayer. But if we love each other, and we come and we can repent, then we can come back to the altar, and God's going to graciously answer our prayers. Call upon me in a time of trouble, and He will answer us. He will answer us. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and will He not bring it to pass, my brother and sister? There are things He's promised you. There are things He's promised me. And if we walk in this divine love that He wants us to walk in, we're going to have the things that we ask for. If we walk in this divine love that the Scripture talks about, we're going to have everything that pertains to life and godliness. But we must walk in this love. We must walk in this love. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's an amazing thing. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not even joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And yet we skip over to joy. We skip over to peace. And I believe if we back up and we'd let love flow through us and to us, if we'd let God love us so we can love each other, we would have peace. We would have joy. See, we got to let love be the supreme issue. We got to let love flow one to another. And we have come a long ways. In this body of believers, we've come a long ways. But guess what? God wants us to go higher. God wants us to go deeper. I believe this year is going to be a year of the favor of the Lord. And I also believe it's going to be a year of sandpaper. I believe we're going to sometimes rub each other the wrong way. We're human. We're family. But that's where love kicks in. See, that's why God wants us to get love from the get-go. That's why God wants to start this year out with love and us loving one another and loving Him. Because if we're loving each other and we're loving Him, when those circumstances arise and those sandpapers rub each other and we get rubbed the wrong way, we still love. We might be hurt, but we still love. Thank you for the amen. We've got to love. Love is the soil in which we must grow and the foundation on which we must build. Then why do we hear so much about faith and not love? I think we should hear more about love. See, it hinges on love. Our walk with Jesus hinges on love. It hinges on love. See, He came to the multitude of people and He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And God's been working on us and been storing compassion in each and every one of us for a lost, damned, and dying world so that I can pray for Doug's loved ones and I can pray for George's loved ones. And I can be moved with compassion that the Spirit might be able to pray through me in love. Not in anything else but love. That's why the Scripture says put off anger and malice. Walk in love. Walk in love. God wants us to be the most lovingest people on the planet. Doesn't mean we accept certain things. Doesn't mean we don't have a righteous standard. Doesn't mean we don't have a standard that we live by. It just means I don't agree with you in this, but I love you, brother. You're wrong about this, but I still love you. I think too many times we get so self-righteous that we forget that we're supposed to love the person that's doing the wrong. We see too much of the wrong. And because we see too much of the wrong, we're not letting God love that person that needs loving. Because you know what? We need love most when we deserve it the least. We need it when we're going through a trial and we don't sense God anywhere, that's when we need one of our brothers or sisters to walk up to us and give us a hug. And rest assured that when that brother or sister hugs you, that is none less than God the Father hugging you. Because He lives in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. My goodness, faith is very, very last. And yet it's the first thing in the church world today that's talked about. It's the last. I mean, you go to the Fruit of the Spirit Convention. It's all about faith. You don't hear, you hear about joy. You hear about, oh, I know I'm stepping on your toes, but it's okay. I love you. Are you going to love me? You going to do what the Scripture says? Are we going to love one another? That's the bottom line. We've got to love each other. Get your pedestal preachers off of the pedestal and put Christ back on the pedestal. Put Christ back on the forefront. See, this is His Word. I'm not reading from Sean's chapter 6, verse 26. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 from the Word of the Lord Almighty. That's the book that I'm reading from. See, if we just get back to the Sunday School Attitude, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me, everything would be okay. Turn the tapes off and read your Bible. Put that book away and read your Bible. Books are good, but it will never replace the Bible. It will never replace God's Spirit, God's revelation, God's anointing, touching your life and speaking to your heart. It will never replace it. There's nothing better than the B-I-B-L-E. It's trying to be replaced. Everything else is on the forefront, but it's the Bible. It needs to come back to the Bible. Well, he said this, but the Bible doesn't say that. Then you need to go with the Bible. You need to love that brother. You need to pray for that brother, but you need to go with the Bible. See, this is the light bearer. This is the light right here. He that walketh in the light, darkness ain't gonna be able to stumble you. It's not gonna. He said it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we're light bearers. That's why we've got to walk in love. So when I see George or Mike in the grocery store and I walk up and I give them a hug, people are amazed. Men hugging men, that's unheard of unless you're from another era. Unless you're from San Francisco, that's unheard of. But see, it's a pure love. It's a pure love. There's nothing unpure about God's love for the brethren. It's pure and it's holy and it needs to be the forefront of your life. I don't care if you see visions, see dreams. Paul said if you don't have love, it doesn't profit you anything. It goes on to say in the passage of Scripture that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's why a person in a backslidden state, the gifts of the Spirit can still operate in, but they don't have any love for God and they don't have any love for you and me. They can intercede because it's a gift. See, if I give you the keys to a car and you go and turn the ignition, that's a gift. As long as you keep putting those keys in that ignition, that car is going to start and that car is going to run. See, that's what it means, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Those gifts are there. They haven't gone anywhere. But you see, you're wrong with God. That's why the Scripture talks about, there are going to be many to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done many mighty works in Thy name. But yet He's still going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. See, it all comes back to love. It comes back to love being the centerpiece. You go, this is Valentine's month, you go to a nice restaurant on Valentine's Day, if you can get in, there'll be nice centerpieces on tables. Nice little candlelit centerpieces. That's what love is to the Christian. It's the centerpiece of our life. It's the centerpiece of our joy. It's an amazing thing that while we were yet sinners, God loved us enough, sent forth His Son, and Christ died for us. While we were yet in our sins, while we were smoking, toking up, drinking, Christ died for us. Christ loved us. It's an amazing thing that while we did those things, He knew us. He knew that we would be here tonight. From the foundation of the world, God knew you. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knew each and every one of you. And God knew that this night would be here tonight, and you would be here tonight. And God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love. And God wants us to love one another with a pure love. Doesn't mean we're not going to have issues. Doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. It just means we let love prevail. Doesn't mean we don't get wrong with one another, but we make it right. We make it right. We want to make it right. Anybody that's wronged somebody and they don't want to make it right, you need to pray for them. Because pretty soon the root of bitterness is going to set in. And when that root of bitterness sets in, their soul is troubled. They can't even go to the Lord. God won't even hear their prayer because of that bitterness towards that brother or that sister. I know I didn't hear no amens when I said God won't hear their prayer, but why don't you go read your Bible again? It's in there. I'm talking B-I-B-L-E. I'm not talking brother so-and-so. I'm talking Bible. God loves you. God loves me, but there are certain things in God's Word that He cannot go against His own Word. He cannot go against His Word to answer me if I'm wrong with a brother, if I've got bitterness towards a brother or a sister. God cannot go against His holy Word. He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. He can't go against His divine justice. He cannot go against His own Word. He will not go against His own Word. For some spoiled little bratty Christian that thinks when they call on Jesus, He's just there. He is there. But God's delay is not His denial. And God is allowed to say no. He is our Father. He does say no. He does say no. He also says wait. He also says not now. And He also says no. Begin to learn the different voices, the different stages of God that God has you on in these days. God loves you, and He wants that love that He put in you to flow out of you. To your daughter, to your son, to your family members, God wants that love that's in you to flow out. That song, Let the River Flow, that's the river that He's talking about. Too many times, the Bible does say that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what do you think that living water is? It's love, my brother and sister. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, but it's first love. It's first love. Love is the soil in which we must grow. The foundation on which we must build. I think too many Christians need to go back to their first days as a Christian and look at the foundation that they begin to build upon. And they need to go back and they need to let love be the thing in which they grow upon. Not going to this service and having hands laid on them and falling out under the power of God. Although that's a mighty thing, it's not greater than love. Healing the sick is not greater than love. Thank you for the amen. Healing the sick is a wonderful thing. But if that man that's being used by the Spirit of God doesn't love his brothers and sisters, that's a gift in operation, and he needs to repent so God's love can flow through him. It all hinges on God's love. God's love. It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. Ephesians 3:17 and 18. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. My goodness. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Didn't say rooted and grounded in faith. Didn't say rooted and grounded in the Holy Ghost. Didn't say rooted and grounded in the Spirit. Rooted and grounded in love. See, we've gotten grounded in so many other things. We need to take it back and get rooted and grounded in love. We've come so far, but there's so far that we must go. God's going to take us deeper. God's going to take us deeper, and that is why He's coming to us and asking for us to make sure we're walking in love. Because if we're not walking in love, the littlest minute thing can get under our skin and drive us insane. and make us not want to come to church, make us not want to be up here and be where God has placed us on the worship team and do what we're supposed to do for the kingdom of God. That's why we must walk in love. That's why we've got to walk in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. See, we need to be able to comprehend it. We scratch the surface. We scratch at it, but we really don't understand it. Because too many times we, myself included, want to give up on a person rather than love that person. That brother that's overtaken in a fall that we're supposed to love, or that sister. What is it that was said years ago? We're the only army that leaves us wounded in battle. We're the only army. I believe that we've come a long way in this body and in this church, that we're not leaving the wounded. But I believe God wants us to go a little farther in love. Walk out a little deeper, as George said, in the water and walk in love. See, the waters to swim in, that's a wonderful thing. But there's waters of love for you and me. And as we get that love flowing and burning for God and for one another, we're going to see mighty manifestations of the Spirit of God. But we've got to have that love first. We've got to have that love first. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. See, we've got to be able to comprehend it. God wants us to understand His love. That way it'll be easier for us to love one another. See, God wants us to love one another because it shows the world and demonstrates to the world that He's the Lord of our life. With all of our hang-ups, with all of our flaws, with all of Doug's hang-ups and all of Doug's flaws, I've got to love this brother. And y'all got to love me with all my hang-ups. My wife's still got to love me. When I get down, when I get discouraged, I know none of y'all get that way. She's still got to love me. When we get that way, we got to love one another. When we see our brother overtaken in a fall, we got to love him. It just might be the thing that breaks. It just might be the force God uses to melt them like butter in His presence. Love is a powerful thing. Love is a holy thing. It's what held our Lord and Savior to the cross, is that He loved you and that He loved me enough to hang there. It was love that held Him on that cross. It was love that held Him on that tree. And if He loved us, we ought also to love one another, the Scripture says, with the same love wherewith we've been loved by Jesus. We need to love one another. We need to love one another. Oh, it's all about love, my brother and sister. It's not about faith. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Did not I say in my word that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples? By this love that you have one to another, the world will know that you are my disciples, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father, for a manifestation of the Spirit of God in this place. Thank you for the witness, Father, that it's about love. Thank you that it all hinges on love, Father. Thank you, Father. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Oh, listen, my brother and sister, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, too many times We become selfish. Me and my house. Me and my yard. Me and my car. Me and my kids. Me and my clothes. And God wants us to look on the things of others. And we're living in a day where time is passing. We're living in a day where the Bible talks about there'll be such pressure. The enemy's trying to wear down the saints. That's why God wants us to love one another. Because there is a sustaining joy in that love. It, when we walk in the spirit of love, we're going to have joy. We're going to have peace. We're going to be long-suffering with our kids, with our husbands, with our wives, with our grandkids, with each other, with our bosses, with the world. We'll be long-suffering. Won't be short, won't get quick-tempered. Because we want to walk in love. Want to walk in love. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. Love is the soil in which we must grow and the foundation on which we must build. That is in, I did not come up with that. That's in the Dake notes. So if you got a Dake's Bible, you can find that. You might have to do a little research, but you can find it. Might do some good to do some research. Hallelujah. God loves you. And God wants us to love one another with that same love that He loved us. Hallelujah. He loved us with an everlasting love. And too many times, we get short with one another, or we don't love like we're supposed to. And I know it's quiet in here, but God didn't bring this message to condemn us. He brought it to us so that He could point it out to us so we could repent of it, so that we could go on and love one another. Don't get mixed up when God comes and puts His finger on something in your life. He does it because He loves you. He does it because He loves me, because He wants us to grow. And it's in that growing process and that accepting that, yes, God, You're right. I can't hide nothing from You. And we can't hide nothing from Him. We might try to hide it from Him, but we can't hide it from Him, my brother and sister. So you just need to confess it. Ask your brother, confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. See, we don't hear too much of that, though, because, well, what will they think about me? What's Brother Doug going to say when I go and confess this to him? Well, what's he going to think of me? See, that's pride. We got to get rid of that, and we need to do what the Scripture says. Doesn't mean you tell everybody. You be selectful. You go to an elder in the church if need be, so that by Sunday it doesn't get spread around on the telephone. See, we can't be a busybody in other men's matters or a gossip. We got to love. And if somebody comes to you and they confide in you, you better love God enough and you better love them enough to leave it in yourself and take it to the grave with you. Husbands and wives, if a brother or sister comes to you, it doesn't matter if that's your husband. If a sister comes to you, a sister in the Lord, and they confide in you, that doesn't mean you go tell your husband. Oh, I know it's quiet in here now. Husbands, that doesn't mean you go and tell your wives. And some wives will get jealous, but understand this, that when you confide to a brother, that is between that brother and that brother and God. Because that might take some healing. God may be wanting to unite them. God may be wanting to heal them. God may be wanting to bring that sister or that brother into a unity that they've never seen before, or a love bond relationship that they've never known before. God works in mysterious ways. He'll use mysterious things to cause people to get close to one another. You might get in an argument with somebody, might want to feel like killing somebody. The next thing you know, you're crying, you're laughing, you're hugging, you're snotting all over them, and you're just walking in love. God does some miraculous things. You might want to kill your daughter, but God might want you to love her. You might want to kill your son, but God might want you to go hug him instead. Because God wants us to walk in love. I don't know why I wrote 1 Timothy down, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Because I quoted it early. I didn't quote it completely, but now I will. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Isn't it an amazing thing? With that scripture being in Timothy, yet money is sometimes the forefront of what you hear. I don't want you to get too judgmental now. Because remember, he that's without sin, let that man or woman cast the first stone. If we see our brother falling near, maybe God wants us to pray for that minister. Doesn't mean they're going to come to the knowledge of truth or come back to the truth. Because it says in the last days, there are many that are deceived and being deceived. And God has a purpose and a plan. Father, I thank you for this growth that we're experiencing inside one to another. To love each other deeper, to love each other greater, Father. I thank you that when people walk in this building, Father, they're going to sense love for you. And they're going to sense love one to another, Father. And Father, we want to worship you. Father, I pray for my brethren that you would bless them this week. That you would strengthen this week, Father God. That you would strengthen them with all mind, the inward man, Father. That their spirit might be renewed day by day, Father. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.